This is Tax Prep Partners to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and president and CEO of SurePrep, David Weil, both credentialed CPA CITPs. Listen to Darren and Dave as they explore advanced processes and solutions for tax preparation practices utilizing today's advanced tax document automation technologies.
This is Darren Root, Executive Editor of CPA Practice Advisor, coming to you with Episode 15 of Tax Partner to Go. I'm here with my regular co-host today, Dave Weil. Dave's the CEO of SurePrep. So, Dave, welcome today.
Thank you, Darren.
You guys getting the extreme heat that we're getting in the Midwest? It's like 104 here today.
You know, we are not in the, you know, we're in Southern California. I'm specifically in Newport Beach, and it was the 4th of July yesterday. And it was raining in the morning, and it was in the high 60s for the rest of the day, overcast. So it was kind of cold. We were barbecuing, but we were wearing jackets. Really strange for the 4th of July.
You know, in Indiana, it's been 100 and anywhere from 100 to 105 for the last 2 weeks plus, which is incredibly unusual for us. It should be about, I don't know, high 80s right now. So
same for us. So we're basically at 40 degree differences in temperature between where you are and I am, and we both should be in the 80s.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we have a great topic today, Dave. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, again, on Tax Partner to Go, we like to focus on really the tax process. SurePrep has sort of a unique, I think, feature set in that You guys have developed this concept of the binder, and I'd like to explore today this concept of the binder and why that's important to not only a 1040 process, but maybe, you know, other processes as well inside of an accounting firm. Does that sound okay?
Sure, that sounds great.
Well, you were really the founder of SurePrep, and before that, the founder of ePace, which is currently ProSystem FX Engagement. So you've got some background in this whole engagement sort of mentality. But tell me how a binder is different than, say, an engagement application.
Sure. So when we take a look at how people organize documents, whether, you know, if it's in an engagement application or even just in a DMS, in a document management system, the documents are organized at what we would say the file level, meaning if you have an Excel file that has 10 sheets in it, that shows up as one Excel file, whether it's in an engagement application or in a document management system or in Windows File Explorer. And if you have a PDF that has 50 pages in it, that shows up as one PDF file. And the problem is when you have all of these different work papers, essentially, you know, each Excel sheet might be a different work paper, each PDF page might be a different work paper, all combined into a single file. It doesn't allow you to organize work papers on screen in the same way that people would have done on paper. You know, on paper, each of those Excel sheets might have been printed out, and one might have, you know, related to interest income and gone before some interest income source documents, and another one might have gone before a Schedule C set of documents, and you could have put those documents and organized them in a very flexible manner anyhow you like. And in today's engagement and document management systems, you can't. And so really the innovation we came up with for the SurePrep binder, which we call SP binder, is it allows you to organize files at what we call the element level or the work paper level. So we would take an Excel file, for instance, and if it has 10 sheets, that gets displayed as 10 separate work papers in our binder index. And in the back end, it's still one Excel file, so you can link all the sheets together. But in the index, it's 10 separate work papers that can be organized in any manner, and it can be an Excel work paper from one of those sheets followed by a PDF page, followed by a Word page, and so on. And, you know, similarly, a PDF file that has, you know, 50 pages, each page can be organized in a different part of the binder index tree. So you can have, you know, a PDF page following an Excel schedule and so on. Organizing in the end with the same flexibility as you would have on paper, but you're doing it on screen. And so I guess just to summarize that, if you had an Excel file with 10 sheets in it and a PDF file with 50 pages in it. That would be 60 different possible work papers to organize in the SurePrep binder, whereas in any document management system or engagement system, that's two files, one Excel, one PDF, and you can't organize it in a way that makes sense.
I was last week teaching or leading one of our RootWorks events in Indianapolis. And, you know, we had a room full of accounting firms from around the country, and we were having a discussion about the paperless tax workflow. And I sort of started, I was always been sort of a big fan of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People in one of Stephen Covey's books. And one of the concepts I like in there is this idea of beginning with the end in mind. And so I use that as a starting point with the paperless tax process. And so I said, let's just look at what is the end goal. Where do we see the market going for tax preparation in an accounting firm? And, you know, the end is that we deliver a digital copy of a tax return, probably in a portal or some online client access as opposed to printing out paper. And then the other piece of that end goal, I thought, and I was articulating, is I also want to be able to deliver a set of source documents that are fully bookmarked and organized in such a way that now my client feels comfortable that they have their digital tax return, digital source documents, and they don't necessarily want their source documents back. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So with that in mind, I wanted to work my way backwards. Okay, if I want a fully bookmarked, fully documented PDF that I give my client, and I think of it like I get my bank statement at Chase Bank. You know, I don't want them mailing me this stuff. I don't want them handing this stuff anymore. I want to go get it when I want it. So I'm kind of going off that same concept that I would think about Chase Bank or Fidelity or any of those organizations. So when you look at that, you've got to be able to organize those documents in such a way, which I guess you could certainly do that manually, you know, have a staff person sitting back there bookmarking documents all day long during busy season, but that seems like a complete waste of time when we have some automated tools. So you work your way back from that deliverable to this idea of a binder. And so then with that in mind, tell me how you see that playing out. I mean, what tools do we need in a binder to deliver that end product? Does that make sense?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I would say for one, you need the binder to be tied in to a scan and organize system so that as documents come in, you know, as you get those additional 1099s and so on, they get merged into that existing binder and they get indexed automatically into that existing binder. And that's much different than what you see in, let's say, scan and organize products that don't have a binder concept. What they do is they just generate a PDF so that, you know, you get a first set of documents and you scan them and you get a partially organized PDF for those documents. Then 1099s and K-1s come in later and you scan those in and you get a separate PDF. And even if you merge them, they're not organized. The 1099s from the first batch are separated from the 1099s in the second batch. Same for the K-1s. You would have to literally manually merge the bookmarks and reorganize the pages, which would be incredibly time-consuming. So for one, you would want an organized system that is integrated with and feeds right into a binder, so where it's a single binder for one return, and all the documents continually flow into that binder.
I think of a binder as sort of that work paper tool that allows me to do so many different things, like you say, scan and organize, but also cross-reference, adding machine tapes to it, make notes on it, all those pieces and parts that I would normally do on a piece of paper, I can now do those digitally. Am I thinking about that right?
Exactly. So, you know, now once you have all the documents going into one binder as they're scanned, or even if they're not scanned, if they're an Excel file, you add them, you know, you want the binder to be able to handle all types, not just images, because you might have documents that are not just images, that are Excel files or Word files or emails that you might want to drag and drop from Outlook. So the binder needs to handle all document types, not just images. And then you need to have, as you said, all the tools to do on screen the things that you used to do on paper, but just even do them more efficiently. And what I mean by that is you need the ability to, yes, do cross-references and tick marks and so on. And you need to be able to do those across document types. So I should be able to cross-reference a number on an Excel schedule to a corresponding number on a PDF page and have them link back and forth in a live manner. And if the order of the pages changes, if the, you know, if I insert pages or change the order of pages, the page number shown on the cross-reference should automatically and dynamically renumber, which, of course, in the paper days, if you change the order of a page, you'd have to, you know, fix all the cross-references. So this is what I mean by being able to do everything that you used to do on paper just more efficiently.
So if I compare a binder with a non-binder sort of scan and organize solution, like you mentioned, an example of that would be something like maybe a Copanion or just Adobe in general, where I have this document, I can scan it in. Adobe doesn't really organize it, but let's say a Copanion does. But really what I get back is a PDF.
Right.
And typically those type of PDFs are, in my estimation, maybe 50% organized, because about half my documents are government forms and the other half are things that aren't necessarily normally recognizable, like maybe a charitable contribution or a medical expense, something along that line.
Correct.
When I get that PDF back from a non-binder type solution, I really don't have the tools to do all the things that I would normally have done on paper on my desktop.
That's right. I mean, you know, the 50% of pages that are automatically organized, fantastic. But the 50% that aren't, there's no tools provided to easily organize and bookmark those remaining pages. And when you get those subsequent documents, you end up with a separate PDF. There's no way to easily merge the pages that come in later with the earlier pages. There's, of course, no way to integrate those pages with Excel work papers or emails or so on. The Excel file would be a separate file and the PDF file would be a separate file. And there's no way to, you know, integrate them not only from an indexing standpoint, so that one page of your index can be that Excel page and the next page a PDF page. You know, they're separated from an indexing standpoint because they're separate files, but they also can't be linked or cross-referenced to each other. You don't have the same tools, not only in terms of annotations like tick marks, but the ability to be able to sign off each page is reviewed. For instance, if you have an Excel file sitting in an engagement system or a document management system, maybe you can mark off the entire Excel file as reviewed. But what if it has 10 worksheets in it and you only want to mark one of the sheets as reviewed? There's no way to do that. But with our binder displaying things at the work paper or element level, you can mark one sheet off as reviewed, one page on the PDF as reviewed rather than the whole PDF. And so, yes, if you just use a PDF-based solution, what we see most people ending up with is a few partially organized PDFs, one for each set of submissions they got in from the client, and then separate Excel files. And, what we hear people saying is when they want to find a work paper, they end up going on a hunting expedition because they look in their DMS or their engagement system and they have a few different PDFs and a few different Excel files, and they don't know where one work paper, you know, relating to, you know, one K-1 or Schedule C might be, and they have to open up all the documents and look through the pages, and it's a hunting expedition. And with a single binder, you know, you get rid of that.
So a binder really is kind of like the, you know, I think of it like that old black binder we used to use years ago, probably when you and I started, that we'd organize all of our work papers in, except it's become more of an electronic. And it, you know, back when you and I did work papers, every document was a document. I mean, it was a piece of paper.
Right.
Right. And today a document, like you say, if you're using just a scan and organize product without a binder, everything has to be a PDF in order to have any level of integration to reach my end goal, which was to create this fully organized documented PDF.
Yeah.
With a binder, it allows us to merge all those document types, which you and I both know consist of Word, Excel, and email, just to name a few. And the majority of our stuff is really coming in those forms at this point. So it allows us to merge all those pieces and parts together to then, once the engagement's all done, create an end product, which is a PDF that can then go in the portal and be that document that replaces the physical source documents that we currently get back to our clients, right?
That, That's absolutely right. And you know, SP Binder is really the only system that exists, the only binder system that exists that allows you to create the electronic equivalent of that those you know, paper binders that we used to work with, because of how it allows you, gives you the flexibility to organize these files at the work paper or sheet, you know, or element level, and also because it gives you the same set of tools to sign off, cross-reference, annotate, tick mark, et cetera, on all those types of documents, whether it's PDF or Excel, et cetera. You have those same set of tools, and at the end of the whole process, you click a button, and all of that gets transferred into one single bookmark PDF that you can, you know, put on your portal, put in your DMS. So, yes, absolutely, as you stated it.
So, as you know, I use SurePrep Binder in my practice. It's been a great tool. But I've recently had the opportunity to see some new enhancements. You guys are always enhancing your products, but I've seen some new enhancements that you guys are working on for 2012 delivery. So probably in the late November, December time frame, you're going to launch your product enhancements. Things that I saw that I'm most excited about are, one, you've developed a new interface that I think is just stunning, really easy to look at, really easy to use. So talk a little bit about the new interface.
Sure. There's, you know, from a user interface standpoint, we want to bring in, do things to make it more intuitive for a user to use. And things that you see in common, like Office applications, which would include buttons that have text on them to say what they are rather than just an icon. You put your mouse over the button, and it gives you a pretty full description, like a tooltip pop-up of what that window does. And we want to consolidate a lot of the buttons so that, for instance, rather than having a delete button that deletes, let's say, something you know, in the index tree, and a different delete button that deletes things on the source document, we'll just have one delete button that works on whatever you have selected. And so consolidating controls. And our focus is, you know, creating a more user intuitive interface, but also something that is, you know, looks like it's more modern, using the most recent user interface things that you would see, let's say, in Microsoft Office.
The next big feature that I think is going to be really cool is, and I've heard a lot of firms talk about this, is the ability to, so just to set the stage a little bit, let's say I'm doing a 1040 and I have a 1040 binder, and that 1040 binder essentially emulates the tax software program that I choose, because you emulate a number of different ones, UltraTax, ProFX, and Lacerte, to name a few.
Right.
Right? All right, so this binder emulates the tax software, so the folder structure is very, very consistent between your tax software and the binder that you're using. What I really like is this idea to add some standard documents, like a, let's say, a 1040 checklist, to that 1040 binder that then can be added every time I use a 1040 binder. It can automatically be included. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. You know, as you said, the index that we use in our system, in the binder, emulates the tax software. And but we have had clients that say, you know, we want to have a standard 1040 binder template that, in addition to the index sections that are based on the tax software, we want to have a folder that has a checklist in it that's specific for 1040s or 1041s and maybe some other types of documents or work papers that come standard every time the binder is created. So, yes, one of our enhancements will be to allow firms to create their own custom 1040 or 1041 binder template, or actually any engagement type, and have that binder template include certain index folders and work papers that are all there the moment you create the binder.
Tell us what other enhancements that you guys are working on, Dave, that will really help the user this fall.
Sure. Well, you know, images are one of the types of documents that go into the work paper, in other words, PDFs, or that go into the binder, I should say. And one of the nice things is that you can use the binder instead of using Acrobat. You only need Acrobat Reader. You can, you know, but what we had a lot of people saying is, give us some more robust PDF annotation-like capabilities inside the binder. So, for instance, we have already the ability to create a text box on an image inside the binder, but people wanted the typewriter feature. So we're adding the typewriter feature. And there's, you know, a list of annotation capabilities like that that we're adding. And also Excel documents go in the binder. And you can open the Excel document in Excel if you need to use macros or some real powerful Excel functionality. But the basic Excel functions you can actually use inside the binder window. And people have asked us to add a few more of those functionalities. So we're expanding the Excel functionality that can be used inside the binder. And then we're doing a lot of other enhancements on the 1040 scan organize and pro side that, you know, in terms of how they feed into the documents into the binder. You know, one of the features of the binder is to say if you have missing documents from last year, you know, was there a K-1 last year that hasn't been provided this year? So the ability to do those jobs on more types of documents, we're expanding those capabilities as well.
I know that you and I recently did a webcast together on CPA Practice Advisor around the form 8949, you know, which is the new form that the IRS released this last year for, you know, stock transactions,
right,
essentially. And one of the features that I'm sure had to have caused you guys some grief this past year getting into the application, but man, was it a huge help from an accounting firm's perspective, is the ability when I would scan those brokerage statements in, the scan and trades component of your application allowed it to lift those trades off those brokerage statements and properly handle them on the 8949. Can you talk a little bit about all that?
Sure. You know, so yeah, as you said, the change to 89, the 8949 changes this year with regards to how capital gains and losses are reported, changed all of the brokerage statements. 1099Bs before this didn't include cost basis, and there certainly wasn't anything like, you know, codes on them. So this year that all changed, and we had to change the 1040 scan trades and pro recognition programs to stop looking for the trades data from the realized gain or loss schedules, because those schedules don't have the 8949 codes, and to start reading from the 1099B and, you know, read the codes, also now pick up the cost basis. So we were able to do all of those changes. And as a result, you know, there is a lot of automation that a firm can have with regards to picking up those trades and putting them in the tax software. We also automatically can generate a spreadsheet that lists out all of those trades if someone wants it in an Excel format. So that's a big time saver with regards to returns that have, you know, Schedule D transactions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dave, I think we're really about out of time today. Anything else you can think of we should be leaving our listeners with?
I think that if a firm is interested in some of the things they heard, they can go to sureprep.com and take a look at the 1040 Scan Organize or 1040 Scan Pro product pages. There's videos where you can see how this software works. And, you know, keep in mind that if you would like a demo over the web, those can be arranged. There's free trials of the software that you can, you know, try it for no cost. And there's early season discounts for purchasing, you know, over the summer versus when tax season begins. So I would encourage everybody to use those resources if they want to investigate this further.
Now's the time, I think, for a firm to do their investigation, do a few returns before the extension period's up this year, see if this is a technology that makes sense in their firm. But I can say, Dave, from my perspective, this has been a great technology for us.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you again on our next podcast.
Thanks, Darren.
To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.